Word of mouth.
This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. The sensation of tickling has baffled great thinkers since the days of Aristotle. He used human ticklishness to distinguish people from animals. Later, Freud puzzled over the strange mixture of pleasure and pain caused by tickling. Indeed, we tickle kids or siblings, sometimes affectionately, sometimes edging towards cruelty. Still unknown is why people laugh when tickled, why you can't tickle yourself, and why some people enjoy tickling and others not. So what is tickling, after all? Contemporary philosopher Aaron Schuster picked up some of those questions. He's on the faculty at the Sandberg Institute in Amsterdam, and he wrote A Philosophy of Tickling for Cabinet Magazine. Aaron, welcome to the program.
It's a pleasure to be here.
All right, so you're writing about the philosophy of tickling, but what can you tell us about the physiology of tickling? What's happening there?
The two are intimately linked. At least that's the argument I would like to make. Tickling is a very strange phenomena. It's even quite hard to define exactly what it is. What's the relationship between tickling, pleasure, pain, feeling a scratch, a nuisance? So actually in the physiological literature, it's been a kind of a mystery, I would say. And this also goes back in philosophy to Plato and Aristotle, who were debating about what tickling is and its relationship between tickling and touch and tickling and humor.
I must have missed that in Plato and Aristotle writing about tickling. What were they talking about?
Actually, one of the places I started was actually in Aristotle very famously defines the human being as, you know, a rational animal or else as a political animal. But also in other passages, he says that the human being is unique insofar as it's the only animal that laughs and it's the only animal that's ticklish. So I wanted to start from this, I don't know, more minor point in Aristotle as a way of understanding the relationship between human beings and other animals.
Well, other animals certainly respond to touch, as we know, like human beings. But, I mean, what is it about tickling especially? It's this explosive response, these cases of incurable giggles. What's going on?
Right. Well, one of the things I was discussing in the piece is that there's something very strange about tickling that seems to defy, like, our everyday experience of cause and effect. So normally you expect, you know, if you touch somebody, they'll react in a way proportionate to the touch, to the pressure. Mm-hmm. But in fact, in tickling, it can produce a wildly explosive response, which seems to come out of nowhere. Now, in a way, I think tickling also is related to what we call, like, touchiness. You know, there's certain topics in life that are touchy topics. A race or certain political topics, or, you know, everybody might have a secret. If you touch on that secret, it produces a kind of crazy response. Or even, you know, there are touchy people. If you, you know, say the wrong thing around them, they react very violently and you have to be careful. Mm-hmm. Now, in a way, tickling is the best example of the touchiness of the body. All of a sudden, this body that you're used to, that you control, that you use to navigate the world, is reduced to complete helplessness and spasms. So there's something very interesting in this kind of doubleness of the body.
Well, when I was growing up, I have a bunch of big brothers, and they used to do tickle tortures with me, like holding my arms up. And they wouldn't even have to touch me. They just had the finger inching towards my armpit or stomach, and it would drive me insane. So they didn't even have to actually touch. I'm trying to understand, like, what purpose does this kind of response serve?
Right. Let me first address, I mean, I think this very interesting observation of yours that actually tickling can sometimes work when you're not even touched. Now, that's a very interesting phenomena. It's a very interesting phenomena on the level of already tickling has become a kind of metaphor of itself or a sign. And in fact, I think you can argue maybe that the very first joke, I mean, the most ancient joke in the prehistory of human beings was that kind of pretend or fake tickle. So where does comedy come from? This is one of the questions I'm very interested in. Where does humor or comedy come from? And I'm actually borrowing this hypothesis from a neuroscientist, from Robert Provine, who thought or who argued that perhaps, okay, the very first joke is actually, I'm going to get you, but not actually touching you. So you see, at that level, I'm not actually tickling you, but just the anticipation of it makes you laugh or makes you kind of move away. And there you see I think, something very interesting happening, maybe even the very first glimmer of what culture is going to be. You know, today, we're so used to talking about virtual reality.
Mm-hmm.
So we're so used to the idea of reality could be a computer simulation, for example. Computer simulation or the holodeck on Star Trek, so this idea of virtual reality. But in fact, the case is we've always been living in a virtual reality. As long as there's been play and language and theater, these are all virtual realities, pretend realities. And, you know, my thesis would be that tickling is perhaps the very first introduction of the young child into a virtual reality, into a kind of universe of play or of pretense or simulation.
Uh-huh.
So I would actually, even at the risk of exaggerating the point, that this little game you played with your brother was a major sort of cultural achievement on your part.
Well, I felt like it was torture. You know, there was a sort of
right. There
is a sort of borderline of giggling in pain there. What have you observed about that razor's edge?
I mean, isn't there something very interesting about our relationship to pleasure? I mean, on the one hand, we have this common sense idea, and you can also find that idea in sort of academic psychology, that, you know, we like pleasure and we don't like pain. And that seems very, okay, convincing on some level. But in fact, we do all sorts of things that we seem not to like, but nevertheless, we do them. Nevertheless, we enjoy them, even though we complain about them or whatnot. And I think tickling is a very interesting example of pleasure, or maybe a better word for it would be enjoyment. One could differentiate the two by saying, you know, with pleasure, we're always enjoying, but within a certain limit. And pleasure is a lot about self-control. So if I'm hungry, I eat, I enjoy the meal, I have a good feeling, I'm in control of myself, I feel good about my life, et cetera, et cetera. But even if we have a lot of pleasure, we feel like we're missing something. Why? Because we want to go beyond those limits. And so enjoyment can actually be something we deeply crave, but is also very uncomfortable. It can produce anxiety or other kinds of reactions. So if pleasure keeps us on one side of a limit, somehow enjoyment is pushing us over that limit. And tickling is very interesting. It's just on the border. Sometimes it can be fun, but if it's a bit too much, then you want it to stop. But you're always attracted by this movement that goes further and further.
It's about being out of control, I guess, on some
level. I think so. I mean, in a sense, that's, I think, something very interesting in the human psychology, that we both want to be in control of ourselves, but also we're attracted by a loss of self-control.
Mm.
So there's something very ambivalent or very strange in the human psychology, and I think tickling is a good metaphor for that, or touches on that very directly. We like it, we don't like it.
Then why, you know, if somebody wanted to, I guess, relax, they can't tickle themselves? I mean, why doesn't it work? Why isn't it not funny when we tickle ourselves?
I mean, the reason why self-tickling just doesn't really work is because, you know, the brain is anticipating the source of the stimulus and actively kind of damps it down. Now, what's interesting about that is, in a way, that lets us differentiate, for example, between sort of affects, feelings that are coming from ourselves, from the inside of our bodies, and those feelings that are coming from outside of us. And that's a very good thing to be able to distinguish the two, right? I mean, can you imagine if you thought when you were moving your own body that actually it was an alien force inside of you moving your body? And that's why you can't tickle yourself, because you know it's coming from you. Now, what's interesting is that scientists have also argued that in certain cases of schizophrenia, you can tickle yourself. So there are psychotics who do experience this self-tickling, but that's a kind of broader symptom of the fact that the border between the inside and the outside, between the inner world and the outer world, has broken down in schizophrenia. So when they touch themselves, it's actually as if they were being touched by an alien force.
Aaron Schuster, I have never thought so much about this. It's fascinating. Thank you for joining us.
Okay.
Aaron Schuster, professor of philosophy and critical theory at Sandberg Institute in Amsterdam. He wrote about the philosophy of tickling for Cabinet magazine. We have a link for you to read the article for yourself at wordofmouthradio.org.